Hi, and welcome to Iron Emuna. My name is Miriam Marciano, and I'm so excited that you're here. My hope is that through listening to these recordings that are about 5 to 10 minutes on Emuna daily or weekly, you learn something new, and mainly that your Emuna is strengthened. And by the way, kudos for just being here, because as you know, whatever you choose to expose yourself to or listen to or watch is what ends up taking space in your brain. And that's what ends up becoming a part of you. So if you want to strengthen your Emuna, then it's really important to expose yourself to it, which means to spend time every day or every week focusing on it. But before we dive into stories and Emuna teachings, we need to make sure that our foundation is rock solid. And here's what I mean by that. Do you ever doubt the validity of the Torah? Or is there even a shadow of a doubt in your mind that God is real, the Torah is truth, and does it really belong to you? Or do you ever wonder, is Hashem really running the world and controlling the details of my life every second? Well, here's the thing. The Rambam says that we must know it. Not just believe it, but know it. It actually says in the Torah a number of times that we must know it. It's one of the mitzvos. It's in Parshas V'yeshanan, V'yedata Hayom. And we say it in Aleinu every day. It means, and you should know today. It doesn't say V'he'emanta, and you should believe. It says V'yedata, and you should know. So what does it mean to know? What is this wording, da'as? The Siach Yitzchak explains, it's what's clear to us with absolute clarity. Like you know for a fact that the sky is blue, or like you know that the sun rises every morning, or that many pieces of evidence proves to you something that tells you it's absolutely a fact. So when the Rambam says that you must know, he means you need absolute evidence. Not just that you believe it or you like it or it feels good to you. No, not enough. When the going gets tough in life, that's not going to be enough to pull you through in one piece. There has to be something concrete, evidence-based. So obviously, if that's what's required, if that's what we need, then this is possible with Torah. So I want to start this series with a few proofs that hopefully will help you strengthen your foundation. If you feel like, nah, you are super strong in this and you just want to get to Emuna stories and teachings, then feel free to skip over the first two recordings. So let's start with a mitzvah that's stated in Parshas Behar. The Torah talks about something that will happen every 7 years, Shemitah. It's a law that says every seventh year in the land of Israel, don't plow or work the land. Now, this could be very scary to farmers and families because how will they eat that year? And the year after that when they're playing catch up with the crops. So the Torah continues saying, don't worry, because a miracle will occur in the sixth year that the ground will yield enough crops for 3 years, year six, year seven, and year eight. This is what the Torah says. This law of Shemitah is predicated upon a miracle that comes into effect every 6 years. This is godly proportion, which human in their right mind would promise that such a thing would happen. And it happened for thousands of years. We have record of it from Josephus, the Jewish general who was captured by the Romans. Josephus was a historian. And he wrote accounts of the times in which he lived. And so he wrote about the Shemitah and he wrote about the miracles that happened back then. Hashem kept the promise that he gave in the Torah. But that was a while ago. Let's jump to more recent times. 1952, the Chazon Ish in Israel urged people that despite the fact that the temple no longer stands, and biblically, we may not be required to keep the Shemitah anymore, he asked people to keep the Shemitah rabbinically. He said, okay, I can't promise you a triple blessing in the sixth year like the Torah promises, but I give you my own blessing that it should work out well. Well, there are amazing stories that came out of Israel about people who made the sacrifice. Not only did it work out, but tremendous blessing came out of it. The very first year of Shemitah, after he said this, was 1955. And there's a famous story of a plague of locusts, grasshoppers, visiting the lands of Israel, and the only farms that were spared were the ones that kept Shemitah. But that was a while ago. We could do better. Let's jump to more recent times. 2014. Hamas terrorists built a tunnel from Gaza into southern Israel. They had planned to come out into a wheat field so that they'll be camouflaged and protected by the tall wheat. They had this attack planned out perfectly, except for the fact that the terrorists did not take into account the Shemitah. The wheat was harvested early before the Shemitah year began. So when they actually staged this attack, and you can watch this, by the way, on the internet, you can watch the 13 terrorists come up and there is nothing there. No wheat to cover them. It's an empty field. And so they're picked up right away by Israeli surveillance and they were neutralized. No human being in their right minds would put a promise of an open miracle into the text. This Torah must have been written by God. But what about the oral Torah? So we have proofs for that as well. I'm just going to bring up one of them here. But first, as background, there are a number of times in the Torah when a mitzvah is stated, but the details aren't there. And that's where the oral Torah comes in. For example, in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah talks about karbanos and eating meat when you're far from the Mishkan. The pasuk says, Ka'asher tzivi sicha, as I have commanded you. The pasuk says that, but it doesn't say anywhere what was commanded. So Rashi comes in and explains, it's the laws of shechita that come with eating animals. These laws were told to Moshe at Sinai, and then Moshe relayed it to the nation orally. Our written Torah and our oral Torah is one Torah. And now let me give you a quick proof of its eternal truth. Again, there are a number of proofs, but I'm just going to give you one here. Kosher fish. The signs of kosher fish, our written Torah says, are fins and scales. Then the rabbis came in and said in our oral Torah, if a fish has scales, they are kosher, because all fish that have true scales definitely also have fins. This is what they said thousands of years ago. If a fish has scales, it must have fins. Since then, scientists around the world have discovered thousands of species of fish, and not one has proved this wrong. Our oral Torah is as true and as binding as our written Torah. It's really not so surprising once you understand that the world is only a manifestation of what is inside Torah. It cannot deviate from that. We'll talk a little bit more about that actually in the next recording with some more proofs. But that is all for today. Have a great day.